Today on the MediCorp Minute Podcast, I sit down with Matt Goosey. Matt and his wife own MRS Machining. Today we dive into Matt's story. We hear about how the company has grown over the years. We hear what it's like to attract and recruit great talent in your organization, and also what it's like to build a good culture and develop your people. This is a good one. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy it. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Like I said, it's a lot. Not that I've seen you, because Jimmy paid me off to say that. So.
Yeah, Jimmy's always taking care of us and making us look good. But I'm excited to have you on, though.
Yeah.
We met, briefly, a couple weeks ago, I think, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I think it was.
Yeah, just kind of chatting on Zoom. And I think you had connected with Jimmy somehow. But it was fun to just hear a little bit more briefly. I'm like, well, man, we got to get Matt on the podcast here to talk about his business. And yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, well, I'm excited too, and I appreciate you having me here. This is a great opportunity to get to know each other, and
absolutely,
maybe some other businesses can learn things. And
yeah,
that's what I'm all about.
Yeah. And where are you guys located?
We're actually where the good football team is at, the G team. So we're over in Wisconsin. If you had to put it on the map, we're about two hours east of Minneapolis,
in
a small town called Augusta, kind of by Eau Claire.
Yep.
Augusta, people don't know this, but Bush's beans are made there. So,
really?
So Bush Bean has two plants, one in Knoxville and one in Augusta. So.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
I look right out my window and I can see it. So.
Yep. And you have some ties to Rochester, don't you?
Yes, I do. I actually have quite a story. Actually, my sister and brother-in-law live here, and they've lived here since late 80s.
Okay.
They both got jobs at IBM's. The sad part of it is both my parents died in Rochester. Mm-hmm. So they came down to Mill Clinic, great clinic, but most of them just... So it's always hard for me to come to Rochester, but it also gives me peace when I do come. So,
kind of bittersweet.
Yeah. Yep. So know the area well, know the town well.
Yeah.
So,
well, before we kind of get into things too, just for our listeners' sake, you know, kind of give us the overview of, you know, MRS Machining.
I'll try to be brief, but a lot of people don't know what machining is. But me and my dad started in '86. Basically by accident. We didn't have a plan. With the place we worked at, the owner got killed in a car accident, fortunately. Mm-hmm. And so they basically claimed and closed the place down because it was going to go into bankruptcy. So we had material. My dad had friends. And they wanted the stuff out of the building as fast as he can. Took it, put it in my dad's garage. Well, a week later, they called up and asked my dad if he could finish machining it. And he's got this little machine. So machining is not like welding. We're welding, you put things together. Mm-hmm. We're the opposite. We take things apart. But we do need welders because we do make mistakes. so it's basically peeling off metal, like peeling an apple, forming a piece of art. And you're really a true craftsman because being a machinist is a lot of different things because not every time it's the same because mm-hmm. materials are different, cake recipes are different. So it's always a challenge, and that's what I like. So what we do at MRS, we're really a contract manufacturer for precision machine components. We're dabbling about every industry.
Yeah.
We don't have any customer over 15% of our business or really any industry, 15%.
Wow.
So we're really broad. Probably it's easier for me to tell the two things we're not in. We're not in automotive because we don't do high volume.
Okay.
So we're high mix, short volume.
Yep.
We're more like a grocery store. You're not coming to look for 100 loaves of bread like a warehouse or a wholesale. We're coming to look for a couple loaves to get you through the week. So have a great team. MRS team is amazing. It's more them than it is me.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of the face because they do the job. They just do wonderful, and I just stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Of course, I get ideas sometimes, and we do it as a committee. You know, we're more open book. So we have our management team, and we have it an odd number for a reason, because if there's five people, 3-2 wins, or 4-1 wins. But if it's an even number, you could have 3-3, and now you got a tiebreaker. But they pretty much, it's like an ESOP company without being an ESOP, but we profit share, open book. We have, so when I tell people they come work for me, there's three things. So I'll get in a lot of the three things. I want you there. You want to be here. Let's make it fun so we'd have never have to work another day in our life again. So whenever that changes, we got to clean that up.
Yeah.
But we have monthly meetings, so we go over the good, bad, and ugly.
Yep.
Everybody likes to hear the good, but sometimes you don't like to hear the bad. But you need to hear all that, because if you're going to go buy a house, if you're going to go buy a car, or if you're committed to staying in the area, having a kid or something, you want to have sure you have security for your job the next 3, 6 months, a year or two, whatever.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have that, well, then it's, you know, that's how you don't, people want to hear that and have that security. So
absolutely.
So that's fun. It's, you know, we're having a really good, you know, machining right now. Manufacturing is, in the United States, is going up, as everybody knows. Mm. The people coming into it are going down. So it's really starting to get a struggle to find skilled help in people, but that's everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's,
why do you think it's going up right now?
Reshoring. A lot of companies are coming back into the United States because the logistics during COVID, shipping containers. I had this in the last couple of weeks. I had a company over in the United Kingdom who got most of all their stuff sourced in Asia, are sick of the containers, are sick of the being up at 2 or 3 in the morning, moving the whole headquarters to the United States, and now looking for U.S. suppliers.
Wow.
And so they actually reach out to us. How can you help? Of course, we can't do everything. We're not, you know, we can only do a little bit. But I hear more stories like that.
Yeah.
People are really figuring out what their true costs are. You know, China or Asia might be 20-30% cheaper, but start figuring the fact that you can't get your parts. If the parts are bad, now what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Call at night. So you start putting those costs into that part. Well, now you're down to maybe 3-4% cheaper. Well, is that risk worth the...
Worth it.
So
right.
It's exciting times. And then you got the aerospace, everybody's shooting rockets off. You know, we dabble in the aerospace, we make some rocket parts, and I won't, you know, it's really cool to go see that.
That's wild.
And that's gonna be a $1 trillion industry by 2030. So
wow.
There's a lot, and a lot of those components are precise precision machines, so that's where we come in.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was gonna say, one of the stories that you kinda told us the first time that we connected was just kind of based off of the growing need. I mean, you went to ConExpo and you were wearing your shirt, right?
Yep.
And kind of getting stopped left and right. You know, you do machining. And it just seems like it's an ever-growing need, you know, for a lot of these people.
Yeah. So one of my customers talked me into going to this ConEx show, and I'm like, we're machining. We're not, like, construction and maintenance. Well, you want to grow your business, go to ConEx. Okay. Well, shame on me. I really wasn't prepared what I was about to witness. ConEx has got like 7 buildings, and it's miles. It's not feet. And one building, the first day, there's 2 floors. I got there at 9 o'clock, it opens. I left by 2 because I was so overwhelmed. And it's not that I was trying to run a business. I just walk and look at a booth and see some cool stuff. And I had my Hermes machining hat shirt on, and like, you machine parts? Can you make this? Can you make this? Can you cast this? And so they're all looking for suppliers in the United States, or just, they were growing and they needed a need. So I walked out of there with my head spinning. So that was one floor, one building, and there were 7 to go, and I don't know how many. I think there's 3 million square feet.
It's wild.
So
it takes you a week to walk the whole thing.
If you can.
If, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of big toys.
Yeah.
So next year it's every 3 years, so here we go again, my 3 thing. I'll probably plan at least 3 days, if not 4, just so I can see the whole show.
That was us, too. You know, we went for a couple days, you know, just never gone before. And it's like, well, what do you expect? And so we kind of went on the tail end of it, hit 2 days, and it was like, yep. You know, ideally go at the beginning, everyone's fresh and excited, and you know, you can kind of see what a week does to somebody. I've talked to thousands of people, but you need a multiple days for it, but that's good. I want to also get into later just some of that you know, labor shortage almost, you know, in the industry, but for now I want to kind of roll back a little bit and just really kind of dive into kind of the roots of the company, how you guys were, you know, starting in the garage together, you and your dad. I mean, how do you progress from, a machine in the garage and you and your dad doing some stuff to continuing to grow that?
Yeah, so I can just tell my story, you know. So I came back, we started MRS. I went to school for tech college, got my degree machine tool. Yep. Like every kid, there's nothing in your hometown. So I ended up meeting my wife during that time. So I ended up moving about an hour north of Hayward, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And then my dad kept getting busier, so I kept coming home every weekend. So about 2 years into that, my day of my wedding, I got married in Hayward or Spooner, Wisconsin. Yep. And my dad said, "You're going to come work for me full time now." Nope, I'm not. I'm happy. I don't know anything about business. I'm happy where I'm at. I ain't going to do it. So, well, 3 months later, I moved back, and we started running MRS. And of course, me and my dad are machinists. We have zero business degrees. So yeah. To me, a checkbook was your, if you had money in it, you're doing good. And
yeah.
All the other stuff, I didn't have a clue. So we did that for 2 years, and I'm 21 at that time. And my dad's like, I was running my machine and I shut it off, and my dad's kind of he was always poking the stick and get that machine going. We got parts to make. We don't got time to talk. Well, I said, "Dad, where are we going with MRS?"
Right.
"I'm happy. We're going to stay in the garage. I'm happy." "Well, Dad, I'm 21. I don't want to sit here in the garage the rest of my life. I'm going to grow it." "All right, if you grow it, I'll support you."
Yep.
So I'm 21. I'm a kid. I was like, "How are you going to go find work?" So I had more doors closed to me than... Then you can imagine, who's this young kid? He's going to make my precision parts? You kidding me? He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
Finally, I got a break. Company up in Minnesota gave me a break. A couple of them did. And I remember going in there, and I'm like all nervous, and I'm suit and tie. And I was talking to the buyer and the engineer, and he's like, "Well, about 5 minutes in the conversation, stop. We had one problem." I go, "What's that?" "Next time you come here, don't wear your suit and tie. You're overdressed for it. Just come as yourself and be yourself."
Mm-hmm.
Great advice. So kept me relaxed. And so I come out of there with more work than I knew what to do with. So I ended up going back and forth. And then I had to start hiring people, and which, you know, I knew nothing about HR or anything.
Yeah.
So we'd hire them, and, you know, I always wanted to make it family owned. And that was my vision.
Yeah.
That was my dad. The reason we started MRS, because we wanted to keep people local and have jobs in their community so they could stay there. They didn't have to move away. I should explain what MRS stands for.
I was going
to
ask, how'd you come up with the name?
Well, it doesn't stand for Matt's really smart. I can tell you that. I won't tell you what my wife says it's for, but it's Matt's really, we'll say some naughty words. It's woman owned. So when we started doing this, our customer was all government contracts. So being woman owned was a huge thing.
Yep.
So my dad went to start the business. He wanted to recognize, "Hey, Mrs., that's woman owned. I want to do business with MRS." So that's where MRS comes from.
Mm.
So we hired a gal named Sharon. So everybody thought it stood for Matt, Roger, and Sharon.
Okay.
And I just thought Sharon was my mom. And that wasn't the case either. So they always say, "Oh, Sharon, how's your son doing today?" He's like, "I don't have a son." So yeah, that's how we did that. We started hiring people. Just wanted to be family owned and treat people like that way. I always wanted to be treated. So when we got into the 90s, we ended up picking up a government contract when that Persian Gulf War was going on to make Brewster 2 bombs. And we had like 1,200 parts a day, and there's two styles. And we're like 6-7 people. It's like tied the whole shop up instantly. So like the Department of Army comes into our little building, which wasn't much bigger than a couple of garages, and looked around and was like, "You're not making those parts here. You got 30 days to get your act up, or we're going to pull the contract."
Yeah.
Although we had all our eggs in one basket at that time, so we had to react, but we did. There again, I go out and buy a couple machines, didn't have a business plan. How we ever convinced the bank to give us money to buy a machine tool, because we come from an agricultural area.
Yeah.
Well, a tractor, how much do you need? A machine tool? You know, they're all fuzzy. So we bought a couple machines, and we started growing, and my dad found another customer. And a lot of, you know, I can tell you more. I'll tell you more success stories, but just remember, between every success story I have, there's about 5 failures.
Yeah.
And 1 week we lost like 80% of our business. We had 5 customers at that time. 3 of them are gone.
What happened?
One of them had, with the material they were supplying us, had cracks in it, and it pretty much kind of ruined their product line, and they had to wait months to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
The other one just lost a contract for a big agriculture company, maybe a cheaper source. So now we're like, oh my gosh, I got like, at that time I had 8 or 10 people working for me, and I only got 20% of my business. But, you know, I always tell people, don't ever burn a bridge, you know, be honest. Because honesty is a lot easier to remember than lying.
Mm.
So I had people that wanted to do work for us that I just didn't have time. I said, no, you have to use the word no in your business some days, because If you grow your business more than 15% a year, you're out of control. I don't care what anybody says. 15% is about the perfect number. 10 to 15, it's manageable. Anything over 15%, you're losing it. Mm. So I started picking up the phone, making a few phone calls. And then a week or two later, I had more business again to do what I know what to do with. Because I make good stuff, we did good quality. Back then, quality wasn't what it is today.
Yeah.
Things have changed and evolved. You know, we didn't have 3D models. We didn't have cell phones. GPS is like wonderful now. Mm-hmm. So we got through that. And then we decided to get away from down with the building we were at. And we moved to the industrial park and where we're currently at. And we had bought that building. We put the Brewster Two Moms in. And then 2000 rolls around, and our computers are going to blow up. And the building we're currently in, that's where I started when I was in high school. That's the building I worked in. We ended up purchasing that building, so we came right back to our roots.
Full circle, yeah.
Yeah, so we moved in there right before that was in October of 99. And then, of course, we thought our computers are going to blow up. And everything was going to be done over the internet. And I can dabble this in here. If everybody thinks everything's like social media over the internet, that's great. But the handshake, like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So there's three things to a conversation. 5% is texting or emailing.
Yep.
You can't show the energy.
Yep.
20% is picking up the phone and talking. You can kind of get a tone, but that 70% is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
The handshake, that's like gold.
Yep.
You can't get away from that. I don't care who you are, what you're doing. Social media is nice to get the introduction, find the contacts, but meeting the person is hands down the best thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
We make it a goal to go visit 40 companies every year. Our team goes on the road and visits 40 customers a year. New ones, old ones we have. That's just the key, and that's what you have to do. Yeah. You have to take the time. Oh, I can't afford to be gone. Well, you can't afford not. You have to work on your business too. And not in your business. So then we got to 2000, we moved there, we expanded three or four times in that building. 9/11 hit, that was a little bit of a disaster. That's when I got involved in the peer group, because what's a balance sheet? What's an income sheet? How do you do your taxes? I had no idea. So I joined this peer group for about 5 years. And it was great because they held you accountable.
Yeah.
And you got to hear other people, and you felt like you're being helpful because you're helping other businesses. And we all had to set a goal 1 year, and this is like 2004. And I go, well, I'm going to set a goal. I want to get to the recession. And everybody in that room's like, what are you talking about? No, I want to have a plan because the recession's going to hit. I want to have a plan of action. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what happens in 07, 08? Guess who was the... So I pull out my little plan. We had a plan of action. We didn't lay nobody off. We kept everybody in staff.
Uh-huh.
But we had a plan. So everybody took a voluntary 2 weeks vacation. And kept, you know, that helped out a lot. And then we got busy again, and we never really looked back. So during 2007, we were elected. We were voted a top 10 machine shop in the nation by American Machinist Magazine. So that got the goal. That was my first public speaking event. Oh.
How did they find you guys?
I don't know if somebody nominated us somebody nominated us, and then they do what we're doing here. They did a phone interview, they did a background checks, and somehow we ended up winning this award. And I had to fly to Cleveland and I had to give a speech. And if you were knowing me then, I was quiet, shy, and I couldn't speak in front of two people. So I had the script, and I did horrible, absolutely horrible. All I remember from it, I had to speak for 1 hour, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
that's a long time.
I couldn't speak for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And this guy tells me, he goes, when there's 10 minutes to go, I'm going to stand up and look at my watch. And what felt like 2 minutes, 5 minutes maybe, he doesn't stand up looking at his watch. I'm like, why is he standing looking up at his watch? I can't be done by now. And he's going really like this. Well, here, I spoke for an hour. I didn't even know what he did. I don't remember what I said. I was so nervous, I don't remember what I did, but I didn't do very good. I know that. So that got us some more attention. We found some more customers and met more people, and that was really, really cool. So then we ended up getting busy again. We got an oil and gas business. That's when my mom and dad started going through the health issues. So I was down here a lot because my sister took care of my mom, but I'd come and visit my dad. First it was my dad, excuse me. So my dad had 2 years to live. And he did make it a year and 7 months. Mm-hmm. And he had a rare lung disease. But that was another reason I came back full time, is because he had a massive heart attack when he was 42, clinically dead on the table. But he came back, and it was funny because it was 25 years. God told him he had 25 more years to live, and he had 20. It was 25 years to the day.
Wow!
So that gives me goosebumps. And yeah, you want to hear his story and his testimony at that. He never really told anybody until the time he passed away. And yeah, it kind of, I won't get into that, but I can someday. But
yeah.
So yeah. So then I started just like focusing on them. I wasn't taking care of myself healthily. Mm-hmm. I was probably had down the road a heart attack. And then my dad passes away. And when you think you can prepare for it, you can prepare all you want. But when it happens, boom. So I couldn't even walk into my building or MRS for 3 months. So that's when I knew my team was there for me.
Yep.
And they ran the place, and the thing was singing. And I finally got emotionally back to come back. Well, then my mom's got cancer now.
Mm.
So I'm down here, we're dealing with that. And I don't wish that on anybody. You know, my dad died peacefully with a rare lung disease, but that cancer is absolutely horrible. I just hope they have a cure for it.
Mm.
So during that time, I just kind of got, you know, lost focus on MRS, and shame on me, not my team, it was me. I got one customer, 70% of my business, because they're easy to deal with. I was an oil and gas customer.
Yep.
Well, guess what happened? Boom. So 15 hits, and lost all my oil and gas businesses. It's gone. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I had a plan. And then I had, my dad had a friend, and I met him a few times, thought he was an all right guy. So as soon as my mom passes away, 2 weeks later, he calls up. Hey, I can come and help you out with MRS. And I'll hear, I had a GM, good GM.
Yeah.
The financial stuff, I still had to do. I'm the owner. I have to deal with it. I have to go deal with the banks. And, well, I can help you do that. He was a smoozer. And, so he came in and he goes, oh, by the way, you got to sign this big, thick contract. You know, I'm a handshake kind of guy. That's who I am, and that's how I was raised. So I shook his hand, I signed it. Well, I'm going to tell anybody who's listening to this, go get, for $250, go have an attorney read it. Because that cost me $150,000. Because he ended up, his goal was to run MRS in bankruptcy so he could buy it for 20 cents on the dollar.
Mm.
So I finally got, something ain't right here. Then he started telling everybody at MRS that they hated me. Mm-hmm. Didn't want you here. And I was still emotional with my mom and dad. Shame on me. So one night at 11 o'clock, I went down to, we run around the clock. And I went down and talked to this machinist, the guy that was working there. And I looked at him and I says, why does everybody hate me here? He goes, what's the matter with you? And I go, well, why does everybody hate me here? He looked at me really funny and he goes, hate you? He says, all the reason people are here is because of you. He says, that blah, blah, blah is ruining this place.
Mm.
You need to get rid of him. So I went home the next day. I asked him to leave. Well, and the first thing he said, you signed a contract. I'm going to sue you, which he did. Mm. So then I got a little smarter because his attorney he hired was the biggest bankruptcy attorney in Wisconsin.
Wow.
Okay, so now that them two were in bed together, obviously. So I fired him. I hired a full-time CFO. Not full-time. I hired a part-time CFO. Should have done that as soon as my dad. Should have done that. Me and my dad should have done that from the beginning.
Mm.
So he's still there today.
How'd you find
the CFO? Actually, my bank referred him.
Okay.
So our bank said, like, you know what? You need someone to finance. I'm like, you're right. And he goes, well, I got this guy. So he's a great guy. He kind of runs under the radar. He actually has an office in our building now because he works with – he has about 7 clients. In the area around Wisconsin, Minnesota, and he just kind of, he's more of a turnaround guy, but he just became so good friends that we just keep him, he's just like, much as MRS, he doesn't own anything, but he just helps us.
Absolutely.
Like an employee. So, yeah, so if you're in business, hire somebody, you know, you're good at your trade, your skill, like videotaping, but you're not good at accounting, find somebody to do it for you that you can trust. That was the biggest move. So, but I said he had to do one thing for me, and he goes, what's that? I said, I want to give these people over here for me the last 5 years, I want to give them something back, like it's feeling like it's your ownership. So we ended up started giving 40% of the profit back to our employees.
Wow.
And then on top of that, you know, I always say God has a plan. And so if you do good to others, others will do double in return good for you. So we had a really good customer and with a big product was going to come in for 1 year. It's going to be big and it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. We brought the team together. You guys will only work overtime. We're not going to disrupt our current customers, but this is going to be extra. And everybody was, some people were working 7 days a week because they believed in it. They believed in the vision. And when they got their bonus checks that year, one guy actually retired. One thing I didn't respect, I gave him his bonus check at 10 o'clock. He was in my office at 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. He goes, I'm done. I go, why? He goes, well, that's enough to put me in retirement. Dang it. They want to lose nobody over this deal. So, so in 2017, then we got, I'm good friends with the people at Modern Machine Shop magazine. And I write a lot of articles. And if you want to learn more about me, we may be at the stand, but just Google Matt Goosey. Podcast or Matt Goosey, but I got to be friends. We wrote some articles, and then they nominated me for a Modern Machine Shop top shop. So we got awarded for that, and I like to kid around a little bit, have fun with it. So we won it because of all the youth we have in our MRS average age is like 30. And we're like the average age for machine shops right now is like 58.
Man,
and so in the next 5 or 10 years, it's really going to get interesting.
Yep.
So what does Matt Goosey do? He's going to go down there. All the competitors are going to be there. I send all the high school kids down there to receive the award. I don't even go.
That's great.
So they all went down there, and they had a good time. But I did it also because I had some football games officiate, too. But it was fun. Everybody's like, you dirty dog. You did that on purpose, didn't you? I'm like, maybe. That was fun. We got the award. We got in the plaque. And then, we just had a really good 18. We've grown from... we got about 53 people working for us right now.
Okay.
We have about 30 machinists. And when I say machinists, you guys might not know this, but when I say machinists, they're machinists. 80% of our people will take a hunk of metal, take a blueprint, take a 3D drawing, throw it into the machine, program it, master cam, whatever, and come out with this piece of art and sculpture. Well, most people have a programmer sitting in the corner, one or two guys, and they do all the programming, where everybody else just loads tools. And that's so I'm very fortunate. Great people. So the reason we're so young is 20 years ago, I seen what's happening now is going to happen. I knew I had to get into schools. And
high schools or colleges?
High schools and colleges, too. Get me wrong. Because, a tech college in Eau Claire, CBTC, is 80% of the people that are my key people today come from college.
Okay.
But you have to get in high schools, and actually what I've learned over the years, you have to get in the middle schools. If you're in high school, you're a little too late. You have to get them in middle school, even elementary school sometimes. So you got to go to the career fair. They got to know who you are.
Yep.
You should know every superintendent, every high school principal within your area by first name, and they should know you by first name. If you're not, you're failing. Mm. I don't look for excuses. I look for solutions. So everybody has excuse, right? So when people come to me with a problem, they better have the solution.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, well, then go find the solution. Then we'll talk about it.
Yep.
Because if you have a problem, I don't know if your machine is bad. I don't know. I'm not there every day. I'm not standing.
Right.
So help with the solution and look at it. So, I just started knocking on doors. I was at IMTS. IMTS is the International Machining Tool or Technology Show in the world, one of the second biggest ones. So I had a friend going down there. We didn't have cell phones then. This was in 05. And he goes, I got this guy working me for part-time. He's just super, super bright and just smart.
Yep.
And you want to meet him at such and such in their booth. So I found the booth on the map, we didn't have this stuff yet. We met there, and if I have a gift or anything, I can talk to somebody within a minute or two, and I know what kind of person they are. I can read them. My daughter's phenomenal for it, too. Look out for her. But this guy, oh, my gosh. I said, Craig, his name's Craig Rakowski. He's at Leverstrom High School, and he runs student-run business called Carter Manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, I don't have a job at a school yet. When I get one, I'm going to get a hold of you. And I said, your door is always open. So about 6 months later, it was in the fall, so he said he got a job at Cardinal at Leverstrom. Can I come talk to your dad? Sure. So my dad has a saying, one hand's for giving and one hand's for receiving. Well, that day he was given.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what do you need? Well, I don't know. I'll give you my CNC lathe we don't use. I'll give you a CNC mill. I'll give you a saw, whatever you want. I'll go, oh, Dad, yeah, you got the cart in front of the horse here.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't even got in the building yet. So 2 years later, we ended up doing it. And I just, kids are, broken homes these days.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have direction. They don't have a father figure. I got over there, and like, oh, my gosh, this is my happy place. Because you can just give a kid a little bit of... inspiration or hope, and they just blossom. And man, oh man, do I have some people that just, so we have this gal named Maddie, and I met her when she was a freshman. She was so depressed. I thought she was going to commit suicide. And I go, Maddie, what's the matter? Oh, I got no hope. My home's not great. And I don't get along with my sisters and brothers. And I was like, well, let's get in the machining. You know, it's just forget about that a while. Let's make some cool stuff.
Yep.
So she started making stuff, and she started believing herself. And she couldn't talk two words.
Yeah.
By the time she was a senior, she's the one that went down to Top Shop and took that award. And she just gives a speech, and she's bubbly.
Wow.
She's 20. So she's probably watching this, but I think she's 23 now. And she just pretty much runs our second shift. She's all in. She's all about helping people, caring for people. It's amazing. And a lot of our people that we've hired are people that just don't have anything. I mean, we hire them, inspire them, and they're some of our best employees. They're dedicated. They're there to making good parts. And so just because, you know, they make me look a little rough around the edges, just you got to inspire them. And we got... And, you know, we got Richie, and we got Izzy in the last 2 years. Izzy, from 15, he lived in an apartment by himself. Didn't have parents.
Wow.
So we brought him in. He'll do anything for us. He's a machinist. He's making parts. He's programming. He's amazed with himself some days, you know. So that high school is just amazing. There's just so many success stories, and we need more of that in schools. And how do we get it into schools is, it's hard, but... Not just not at school, but we go to the other schools, all the career fairs. So I'll give you guys some business advice here. So everybody's, why do you go to career shores? Meet people, get people, you know, find new team members, inspire them to manufacturing. Well, that's a waste of time. I go, well, I mean, wait a minute here. I said, if I hire one person today, and one person comes in full staff for 1 year or my future, that's $300,000 of revenue I'll gain. Well, what do you mean? I said, every employee at MRS is worth $300,000 of revenue. That's what they generate. So I said, I'm here for 5 hours. Would you want to take a risk of $300,000 revenue? And they're like, oh. You know, so you have to be out. You have to be out. You got to make time.
How else can companies kind of get involved with schools then?
You got to be persistent. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to be persistent. You got to keep emailing them. So I always tell people, leave your building. This is from Dan Conner, right? We do workshops. So if you want to come and learn about Cardinal Manufacturing and learn how they started and learn how you can do it in your business, come to one of our workshops. We have them 3 years. But you got to go to their building. There's no excuse. You have to go to their building. In schools, it's hard to get into, but you have to. I'll tell you some, a little bit here, I'll tell you some really other little backdoor things. So then you go to them, you meet with them, you say, you're important to me because you have students, and we like to inspire your students, and then invite them to your building. And then when you invite them to your building, show them around, show the kids around, and I don't give hats because kids can't wear hats in school. But give them a T-shirt. So we give them a T-shirt, we give them food, and we give them a little card. They can do the QR codes, and we have videos. Well, does anybody do videos around here? they can scan it. And then we usually, if they're teachers, then I like to hire teachers during the summer to come work for a month, a few days. So we always get a teacher.
That's a great idea, yeah.
Get a high school teacher in there. And they know. I said, yep, we know. You can work here and make more money. You can high school. That's a problem in our high schools right now. Can't find teachers. You think us and people in the industry are trying to find people. Go to the high school. It's hard. It's almost possible. And nobody's got longevity. I don't even know half the teachers are from 1 year to the next because they all leave for higher pastures. So yeah, we do that. We just got to keep after them. Then get in their tech program. Tell them why it's important, you know, and just got to be persistent. And eventually they'll come around. Some are good, some aren't, you know. Every school changes, every administrator changes, every direction changes. But then I got in the school board. That's not a thankless job. 90% of it's great, but that 10% of it kind of drew me away after 6 years. But so my other backdoor policy is, and I encourage this, and officiating sports. So I got into it. I was in the school board. We couldn't find a coach. So I said, I'll volunteer because you can't be a coach and get paid in a school board. So I volunteered. Well, the first thing I noticed is like, there's only two officials showed up. And then kids started punching and getting in trouble. And so the coach has to run out there and clean it up. And it's like, man, why can't we get officials? Well, there's not enough to go around. So my son gets in high school. I'm going to try this officiating thing. And oh boy, here we go. My first game, you know, I'm going to go out there and throw these grid flags. And I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't have a mentor. And then in the game, the coach comes running at me, swearing at me, and called me every name in the book. And at the time, I was mad. And I didn't know, I'm done. I went home that night. My wife told my wife, I'm done officiating. No, I think you should just get it one more chance. Find somebody that knows something about it. So then I did. So I got into officiating. Then I got in, so my son played high school, so I couldn't do varsity. Once he graduated, I started doing varsity.
Yep.
Started to get to know the coaches. You know, I started doing all these youth games. And like, hey, you know, do you want to learn some rules about football and like teach your kids? Sure. And by the way, can I talk a little jab about manufacturing and what it's all about? Sure. So now you got the coaches. You don't have to go through the traditional doors, yep. Sign your name, meet people. Just sneak in the back door and walk in the corner of the practice field. And now, you're not, now the kids know who you are.
Yep.
I did a LinkedIn post here about a month ago. One thing I've noticed of all these years, if how the kids react on the court is pretty much how they work and act mm-hmm. in the workplace. Because I've hired a few of them that were not so good on the court, and they weren't so good at MRS.
Yep.
But we kind of cling them around a little bit. So that's how you get into it. You got to be involved in the community. So if I go down to the Quick Trip right now, if I go down to the mall and I say, do you know who Media Corps is? Are they going to tell me? Yeah, we know them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a bigger town, it's a little harder. But in a small town of 1,500,
yeah.
If people come visit us, they know MRS.
Yeah, no.
They better know who you are. Yep. People just kind of keep quiet. Well, if you keep quiet, ain't nobody going to
mm-hmm.
know who you are. And the big, good thing I did, my dad had, we had a 25th anniversary. My dad wanted to have an open house. Well, physically, we can't run the machines. That's a liability. But we can have parts sitting there with the machines. Mm. And then we had a tent come in, and we gave everybody free food. So food's kind of the king. So we bought a bunch of pigs from the 4-H fair, and we had a great cookout. We probably had 500 people come.
Wow.
Nobody knew what we did. You know, we had walls and we had windows, but nobody drove by. Invited them in. We had like 12 applicants. People talked to people. We had one story of one of their sons worked at NASA, so now NASA's calling me because your mom's all excited about it. You guys machine parts? Well, we need parts at NASA. It's just a little one afternoon, mm-hmm. Saturday afternoon open house can do wonders for you. So don't be afraid to let people in.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was just amazing what that mm-hmm. did. So yeah, that's kind of what we do. But I could sit here and talk all day.
Yeah.
Well, it's been
awesome story. I mean, it's incredible the growth and the different things that you've been doing. And kind of just, I mean, like you said, you see one thing succeed and, you know, five things failed before, you know, getting to that point. And I'm sure it just kind of kept doing that thing. And obviously you've learned a ton just doing it.
Yep.
How are some other ways that you've kind of developed yourself? Because something that I've faced even too, you know, being a leader in a company, like you mentioned, you know, you guys knew how to machine. You
yep.
didn't know how to be a CEO. You didn't know how to be.
Nope.
So, you know, I've felt that too on a small scale of like, well, I know how to shoot video and edit and new marketing.
Yep.
Decent at sales, but I didn't know how to run a company and do HR and finances and developing people and things like that. So I've tried to take, you know, channels to continue learning that. But I mean, for you, 50 some people, I mean, that's no small feat. Like no. How have you kind of progressed in your development then?
Well, there's two things. First thing, I'll hit the first thing and I'll go how I do it. But everybody says, how can you have such a successful company? How are you singing so good? I mean, how are you doing so good? I go, that's easy. Well, how can it be easy? I walk the floor every day, mm-hmm. first, second shift. Well, can you do that? I go, yeah, you can do it because you got to kill the cancer before, you got to put in the cancer before it starts.
Mm-hmm.
If you go, it's good and bad and ugly, don't get me wrong. There's days where why did I just walk the floor? Because it just got me upset. But you got to kill the problem before it starts, because if you don't, it's going to become a cancer. So, for example, we had just two that come to mind. We had this guy in second shift, and he didn't make it to work. So, hey, Kyle, where were you today? Well, I had a toothache, and I can't get in the dentist for 2 months. Well, why can't you get in the dentist? Well, there's nobody that'll take me in. So, I have dentists. I have a good friend as a dentist. I said, would you be willing to go to my dentist if I get you in? Oh, yeah, it's just killing me. So I call my dentist up. I go, hey, I got this guy. I think he needs a root canal. His tooth. Can I get him in? It's kind of an emergency. Mm-hmm. Yep. Next day he goes in. His wife and him were in my office in tears because he had to do a root canal and it was gone. The pain was gone. And I paid for it because he was, you know, was kind of financially strapped. And it was $240 or something like that. And why did I do that? Well, if he's going to run around our business for 2 months with a sore tooth, there's a really good chance he's going to miss a couple more days.
Yep.
He's not going to be productive. So for $240, that's pennies in the bucket to me.
Yep. Yep.
So then I had this guy late for work, didn't come to work. I go, what happened? He goes, I got a flat tire. Well, do you fix it? He goes, well, I can't. I work second. I can't get into the auto dealership until this weekend or this Friday afternoon. And this is on a Tuesday. I said, where was your tire? He goes, in the back of my car. I got the little one on. I said, you want me to fix it? And he's like, well, you can't fix it. I go, I can fix it. I said, I can go right down the road to the automotive shop and they'll fix it. Can I have your tire? Sure. Well, I'll go down there and fix it. $20. I go, here's your tire. I'm not going to put it on the car for you, but it's fixed. And he's in tears. Well, what do you think these people are going to tell their relatives and their friends? Mm-hmm. It's just those little things that can blossom into big things. So that's why I'd be successful. Oh, I forgot where I was going to go with the other one, the other part of that question. But
just your personal development.
Oh, my personal development.
How you've learned, yeah.
So the peer group was the big thing for me. Okay. Peer groups are great. But
that was a local one, right?
Yeah, a local one. Yep. One time it was called TAB, and now it's called something else. But, I mean, it's the money, but it's... Mm-hmm. You got key people that are experts in all those areas. So I learned a lot from that. But the big thing is a mentor. I have a mentor. Away from the business, doesn't know the business. You got to have somebody you can just talk to that gives you honest feedback. Not what you want to hear, honest feedback. So they're not going to like what you're going to say. Don't ask the question. That's my dad. I said, if you don't like the answer, don't ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
That
where did you find your mentor?
I found him just becoming friends and knowing people through the years, and he's actually in a way a kind of a competitor, but he does bigger stuff than we do, not such big stuff, but I mean he's got 350 people working for him, but then he kind of uses me as a mentor too, so it's kind of a win-win situation. So and I have my CFO is a good mentor for me too. You know, if I'm a little upset at work, he always gets me calmed down. So another one of my mentors, but you got to listen. You just don't think you have the answers and don't think there's help out there. Like life anywhere, you got a problem at home or anything, there's help out there. You just have to listen. So that's how I learn. I know I didn't go to school. I don't got big fancy business degrees. I call them common sense degrees. Just like when you go to school and you get done with a tech degree, you got this thing called JOB degree. Mm-hmm. It's called the job degree.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, I think always having some kind of coach or mentor is definitely good. And, from having a lot of owners, CEOs, on the podcast too, there's that's the same thing for most of them, mentors and coaches along the way. And sometimes those change. Like for me, I've probably had three, and it's kind of just, you get to a certain level, it's like, hey, you helped me get to here, that's great, but I need to get to here now, and I got to find someone that's equipped to help me, do that. So I've kind of been doing that, which is fun.
Yep. And one other thing I do.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
You got to take care of yourself. Mm. So you call me between 4 and 6, probably not going to get a hold of me.
Okay.
And I'm going to be on my taking care of my sales calls. So I do a lot of cycling. That's how I get away.
Okay.
Turn the phone off. Yeah, I'll put a podcast in.
Yep.
But I won't be looking at my phone. It's 2 hours. It's my time. An hour, even an hour some days, but you got to take care of yourself. So you got to get away from everything, think and visualize. And what I usually do is I do three things, come up with three things.
Yep.
Good, bad, and ugly. And I write them down. I get back. And at the end of the week, I take those three things and compile them into three things. End of the month, I take those three things and compile them into one thing. So I helped. At the end of the year, I have 12 things. So now I can do my goal setting. It's kind of like right there. Well, so that's kind of what I do.
Yep.
Most people don't get away for just even go walk around the block at work at lunch or something. Just take some time for yourself.
It is hard when you're an owner and you're married to your company, and it's just like this,
you know, there's always something.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the intentionality, again, that you have, that I have to set this or I won't.
Yep.
You know, it'll just never happen.
Yep.
That's a good, you know, it's something that I don't do enough. And, you know, when you're kind of in growth mode too, you know, we're only 6 years in and it's been growing fast. And it's like, how do we keep this going, but do it right, you know, so we're not going to grow too quick.
No. So you made it past the 5-year mark. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I tell people when they start a business, there's three things. Are you willing to risk everything financially? Is your family 100% on board?
Mm-hmm.
And you're ready to go 24/7?
Yep.
You can't say yes to all three. I highly suggest you don't get in the business. Mm-hmm. So you probably can experience that too.
Well, the internet doesn't paint that same picture.
No.
They have I was talking to a guy yesterday about it, and just the fact that everything now points to this, you know, own your own thing, do your own thing, have all the time, all the freedom, all the money that comes with it. And, you know, it's just like, yeah. And it is, that's an attractive message, but you get in and you realize that's not what it is. And, you know, that's why you see the people start and then stop. And
yep.
I think there was part of me too that, like, that was attractive, you know, time and money and freedom, and sure, why not? Yep. But I think as, you know, as I've grown, it's like, well, you figure out quick that that's not all what it's going to be. But I think now that the motivation has also changed over the years too. You know, it could have been a selfish motivation to start because of these different reasons, but it kind of evolves into something else. You know,
yep.
you start building a team, you get to take care of them, you get to develop people, you get to grow. I mean, the growth is addicting. Developing people and having them flourish is addicting.
Yep.
And I know you're big on people development too.
Yep.
And, you know, I've even, yeah, I wanted to kind of talk about just the recruiting side. You know, I think that's, you have a overall younger age demographic than most in your industry, which is cool. And probably less of a recruiting need than some, but, you know, I kind of wanted to get your perspective on just the industry and recruiting and, you know, the talent that's, I mean, retiring right now and what's going to be happening and what people should be looking to do.
We're in trouble in 10 years. It's hard. I mean, I'm not trying to, if I don't got nothing positive to say, I don't like to say anything at all. You know, just like when you get up in the morning, tie your shoes, think mm-hmm. of something positive, you'll have a positive day.
Yep.
If you think of something negative, you're going to have a negative day.
Yep.
It's, you know, I carry business cards in my car. I have them on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I've hired people out of fast food joints. It's getting to be harder now because they're getting $20 an hour and they're living in the basements, they're happy or whatever. But you just got to be recruiting 24/7. That's like our people, our team. My best recruiters are the people that work at MRS.
Yeah. Yep.
So some of the stories I told about you do that, well then, you know, and it's not always about money. Kids think money, 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 money. You know, I know a lot of rich people, like really rich people.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most unhappiest people that I know.
Yeah.
Because they got all this money and they got to manage it and they're all stressed out. You know, the more money you got, the more you spend and the more things you got to take care of. So a little story with that. I'm a cyclist, right? So I have 4 bikes. Well, one of my bikes kind of broke and I'm all like, oh man, you know, my wife goes, you should be happy. You got a bike to ride. That's good. You can still ride it. So I got 4 bikes. And I'm just stressing myself out because I got more. If I had one,
oh.
I wouldn't have this problem. It's easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, recruiting, you have to be, like I said, you have to be 24/7. You have to develop people. People aren't going to come to you, and you got to maintain them. I mean, that's the big thing, longevity of people, because every employee I hire that fails, that's 10 grand. It costs me $10,000 usually to hire somebody. Well, how can that be? I said, for the first month, you're not making anything. You're just mm-hmm. showing training. You're paying them a salary. They're not really. So you got to be really, really, you know, dig down deep into it. Some of the problems, you know, ghosting. You know, we'll put an ad out there and we'll get applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have 10 applicants, if 2 show up for the actual physical interview, oh, we had a good day. And then you interview them and then they accept the job and then you're okay, we'll start Monday. Then they don't show. We don't know where they went. So a lot of that going on. I mean,
why do you think that is?
If I could answer that, had that magic wand, I wish I could tell you. I just think there's, I think something needs to be reset in America. We need a reset button. Mm-hmm. I think people just have been given. Like me, my grandma, I hear my grandma's stories, and she went to the Depression. She saved everything.
Yep.
And I grew up on a farm, and you had to fix what was, you know, we don't really have that no more. I think everything's given. We have to stop that. If a kid, it ain't going to be hard for a kid, any little driver motivation that's coming into the workplace, he could be successful and fast. You know, we all had to, it took us 10 years to get where we're at. These kids, if they got motivation, drive, and want to care and do better, probably like some of the people you got here, the ones I met are fabulous. So good job. They have a great career path. I mean, they can advance really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just going to worry about, you know, I had this kid come in here, apply for a job, and so we started talking wage, and I don't remember what the wage was, but it was a dollar more. Someone else offered me a dollar more an hour. So I said, well, what's your benefits? Well, I don't need benefits. Oh, you don't want, know what what's a 401k? And I don't need that. I go, do you ever want to retire? Well, I don't need that. And I go, well, if you start today, like you're 18, 19, the fastest way to becoming a millionaire, besides winning the lottery, is putting money in that 401k. You'll be a millionaire when you're 50, easily, hands down. And I said, so what's that dollar an hour? So you're going to get 6%, that dollar an hour, and is probably like $4 or $5 an hour, actually. Mm-hmm. You got health insurance, you got paid time off, you get vacation. You know, you actually get, you take time off for a week, I had to tell this kid, you get paid, you get a paycheck.
Yep.
Oh, well, they don't teach that in schools anymore. That's one thing we teach at Cardinal. We teach soft skills. We don't teach the hard skills. So Cardinal's actually like my competitor, but we don't focus on the hard skill, because if you can't have the soft skill, you can never teach the hard skill.
Mm.
But no, you have to have the culture. Culture is the key to any business right now. You got to have a good culture. People want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Make it fun. You know, have cookouts, have giveaways, have meetings, information. People want information. You know, they want to be secure. Yep. And just get out and hear somebody good, you know, talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tough.
Care,
Care is a big thing.
Yep.
It's tough. I mean, it ain't going to get easier. I wish I had that magic wand. I just think there's too much government assistance out there.
Mm-hmm.
52% of people in America don't work. 52%.
No way.
Yep,
52%. Is that real?
Yeah, Google it.
That's wild.
52%. So the 48% that are actually working are...
Holy smokes.
You know, a lot of the people that's keeping us afloat right now is people that have retired that are coming back in the workforce working part-time. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple of people at MRS that are retired machinists, retired, and they're working for us part-time because they got bored. You know, if you're going to retire, I'll tell you, I only got two. First question I'm going to ask you is healthcare. If you can't answer that, don't even worry about the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I have Medicare. I have health care. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go spend time with my grandkids. I'm going to travel. Okay, that's fairy tale land for about a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get old. That's going to get boring.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? If you don't have a clear plan, don't just ease into retirement. Mm-hmm. Just don't. Because most people that retire, they're, to be honest with you, they pass away in 2 years.
Yeah.
Statistics are that too. So.
Yeah.
You got to ease into, like anything else, ease into it. Don't jump all in. Well, some things you got to jump all in right away, but some things just ease into it. So,
well, it's kind of, I mean, it's a little off topic, but, you know, I was reading a book one time, and it was talking about, you know, a college setting, and, you know, students were talking about what they wanted to do and when they would want to retire and, you know, all these things. And, you know, this guy says, you know, I'm going to retire at, you know, 30 or something like that, or, you know, and the professor said, like, why, you know, why would you want to do that? And he's like, well, you know, I can do whatever I want and, you know, this and that. And he's like, okay, so let's say you retire at 30, you know, or 35.
Yep.
Let's say you have all the money in the world, more than you can spend. You spend the next 2-3 years living it up, doing everything that life has to offer, then what? You know, you've already experienced everything. You've already bought everything. You've ever done everything. And now you just have time, and there's no purpose.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I think it's that thing where, you know, like, as humans too, like we need something. We need a purpose. Yep. We need to be doing something. And yes, like, you know, the time and freedom to spend with family and things like that. Absolutely. Yep. But yeah, it's the people that retire and they don't do anything that die quickly. It's the ones that retire and kind of do something still part time, live for a long, long time past yep. that.
They like their routine.
Yep.
Well, the new thing now is they get down college, they're going to retire. They retire for, like you said, they're 30. Then they go in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So they can enjoy retirement. Oh, my gosh.
You know, yep.
You got to build wealth before you can actually do retirement. So.
Yep. What do you think about how technology is kind of changing your industry? Like, I think you mentioned something, too, about, you know, just the GPS and, you know, you got the CNC stuff now. And I mean, it's got to be wild what you and your dad were doing, you know, manually by hand and to what, you know, also computers are helping with now. And how do you think that's kind of adapting and changing?
Well, it's helping. You know, AI is the new buzzword. That's kind of scary, some of that stuff. Real scary, but, you know, robotics. Everybody says robotics. You know, we just got our first robot here in January. And, you know, it's a learning curve. It just doesn't plug and play. We have it. It's just a struggle to, you know, we got to change ways. You know, the older ones, it's, the older folks are harder to, the old dogs are hard to teach new tricks. But some of our older, you know, they jump in. AI is kind of neat. It's scary neat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when I was in, like right now, we're teaching our kids in high school for jobs that are not even out there yet.
Right.
So you have to always be learning. I mean, technology changes so fast. And you're learning something today, in 6 months, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not learning, people get the big degree, oh, I'm set for life. Oh, mm-hmm. You're set for about 6 months. You always have to be learning. Education, learning. You know, we grew up, we didn't have a library in our hand.
Right.
A phone, you got... There's a whole library right there of information, YouTube videos. I'm a big fan of YouTube videos. If I have to fix something or do something, go find a YouTube video.
Yep.
It's just like amazing. I think it's made the world a better place, but then I also think that phone has hurt a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hurt. Drama. People want drama. You can go on, I don't mean go on Facebook. I got off it because I was on the school board, because they could really attack you in that. But, you know, they people get excited over drama. So yeah, it's good, but it can also be bad.
Yep.
It all matters how you use it. Because
how has it kind of changed your, I guess, the sales and business development side of, you know, kind of what you guys do?
You know, unfortunately, MRS, everybody's like, well, who's your marketing? How do you market? Mm-hmm. We don't market.
Yeah.
Just word of mouth.
Yep.
LinkedIn has done some wonders for me. I've gotten quite a bit of business off that. Dabbled into it. I don't know how, but just reaching out to people. You know, I don't try to. Sometimes I do throw a sales pitch out there, but not really. Just I like to know new people. I mean, you know, my passion is to see people succeed in life, and I love meeting new people, and that's why I'm here today. I get to meet some really cool people today.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I like to do. It just got to build trust to meet people. So marketing just kind of takes care of itself. A lot of our customer growth has been people that leave companies that go to other companies, and they're happy what we're doing there. Then they introduce people, then we grow that. That's how we grow. You know, I'm just starting to dabble in the social media a little bit. Mm-hmm. I always tell people that if I did market, I would be kind of scared of, because we got, you know.
It would come in, yeah.
It would come in, so. Yeah, well, what we want, you know, you got to be evolving. You got to be looking for new customers, because some come and go. You always got to be shooting for that. Our goal is to find 2 new customers every year, and I don't have one at the date, so I got to get busy.
Yeah,
but we're working on a few.
Yeah.
So maybe the one that's moving over from overseas to America, maybe that'll be one of them for us.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get better at it. My daughter does it for kind of like a living. She makes, I was telling you about, she makes makeup videos.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets all these followers. I don't even know. I don't know social media that well, but I mean, she. During COVID, I asked her to sing the American "Amazing Grace" song. Yeah. She's a great singer, and oh my gosh, she should have a career in singing, because she had found, she was on that TikTok thing, and she sang it, and some like recording artists heard it and wanted her to come and interview for making records and stuff, and that's when COVID hit. So I told her to sing it. And if she sang it, she got it. She always wanted a goat. So I said I'd get her a goat. If she got, what was it, 500,000 likes? By gosh, she got 500,000 likes. Wow. So I didn't get her the, I didn't get her the goat yet. I never did get her the goat. She, but she had 500,000 likes.
Like, that's insane. Wow.
So I, yeah, so now people like send stuff to our house. And so it can be a, it could be a really cool tool.
Yep.
I mean, I like YouTube. I like watching videos. I watched this guy in Minnesota, the tiny cabin life. That guy is just phenomenal. If you're listening, Jack, hi, Jack. yeah, he, you know, he'll post a video. He gets sponsors.
Yeah.
To sponsor his movies. I mean, he'll get, I don't know, 100,000 followers or views or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So something that we should dabble into because, you know, manufacturing is cool. I mean,
it is.
Back in, everybody was taking tech colleges out of the high schools.
Yeah.
And that's dirty, filthy, that's lowball. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm in, that's why, what drives me today as a teacher or something. Sorry, a quick story. So I had this teacher in school that told me I was going to be a no good, lowball life. You better go into manufacturing because that's the only, that's your only hope.
Mm-hmm.
Who was I mad? I wasn't mad, but that drives me today.
Yeah.
So I'm on my first year of the school board. And you're the rookie, right? So you get all the bad jobs. So union negotiations. Guess who the union negotiator is? Sitting across the table from me. I so happy to be that teacher. Good thing we're in closed session. Yeah. But no, so but I, no, today I know him. I'm good friends with him. I thank him. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you hate. You, that's why I tell kids when I go to high schools. One thing for you to do today before you leave is go for the teacher you like least, tell them thank you. Well, no, thank them because they're not there for themselves. They're there for you because I know what they make. They don't make a whole lot of money, and they're dwarking. They're working more, and they just don't work from like 9 to 3.
Yep.
They're doing home extra curricular activities, and they're not getting paid for none of that. So you better thank them because they're here to give you life direction, and you better listen to them. Some do it, I don't know, but I have great respect for teachers these days. We need more of them. So,
yeah, no, we do. We've actually been fortunate enough to work with some schools, which has been kind of fun, but it's on that recruiting end. It's like, how can we attract people into this field, you know, because it's such a need. I mean,
that's like machining, right? So everybody's like, oh, it's dirty, grimy. I said, do you like to play video games and you like to be on your cell phone? Well, yeah. Well, that's what machining is these days. It's a big touchscreen thing. You're playing with it.
Yep.
And it's got CAD models, so you're seeing things like a video game, and you got to make the video game.
Right.
Oh, never thought of that. So then you show them, and like, yeah, that's cool. So I think I love video. I love what you guys do.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool, that technology. And
It's a blast getting, you know, we almost get, like the insight into all these different companies, because you know, you, when we're working with them, we get to usually work with the heads of the companies and get kind of that top level view of what's going on, how it operates, and we get the fun, unique task of putting that into a video form, and you know, that's something that's easily digestible that you can, I could watch this and know exactly who you guys are, what you do. It's kind of a fun task, but it's, you know, you learn a ton, and it's. There's a lot of cool industries out there. There's more and more that I learn about every single day that, man, I didn't even know that was a job.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a ton of that all over the place. But
yeah. That's one of the things about being in business. When I was kind of doing more sales, I don't do that much anymore, but that's one of the things I loved, going to visit our customers, seeing the cool stuff. Everybody does an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, made in USA, that's what I'm all about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing what people do. And you know, I go to these shows, or I go to a customer, and I come in there, I know everything, and they walk out of there like, oh man, I feel about this high, because you know what you see every day and do every day, it's natural, it's like easy, you see it. But then you go to people that doing some really cool other cool stuff, they're like, I don't know, I mean, it's amazing. So
what's the future for MRS?
Yeah, so I always like to do the three Scroogers here, the three things, past, present, and future. So we talked about the past a little bit. We talked about today, the present. And the future, continue to grow. We're on a path right now this year, 10 to 15%. Trying to get more kids into high school, more kids into manufacturing. taking on new customers. We have plenty of land to build. Bricks and mortar and equipment are easy. Anybody mm-hmm. can write a check, boom, here you go.
Yeah.
Defining the people, the skilled people, just team building people, lifting people up. I mean, that's my passion. I'm addicted to seeing people mm-hmm. see successful. So the more people we can bring into MRS and join our core group and join and have fun, that's what's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so we're building. We dabble in. We just pretty much do machining, but there's other areas that we can start dabbling in. But yeah. I just want to stick to what we're good at. And all these young kids working for me, it's exciting. You know, there's good and bad. We're hiring young people. Mm-hmm. The good is they got good, talented minds. They're fresh and they want to learn. They want to go for it. But then they get married and have babies. So then they're a little immature sometimes. So you got to build that immaturity. And but it's exciting to see kids be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities are limited. You know, right now, you know, everybody thinks, ooh, we're going to be in recession. People are laying off. It's election year. This is my 37th year of being in business. Every election year, it's always a dip. It's always mm-hmm. a dip. And then it comes back.
Yep.
So
yep.
Don't. I say time to get, when you're, we're not slow by no means, but some people are here.
Yeah.
When you're slow, it's a time to get busy. Clean Absolutely. Up your mess. Develop a plan. You know, I always say a goal without a plan is called failure. So develop a new goal, you know. Clean house. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the time it's for. So take advantage of the situation, because someday you'll be busy again and you're going to be in the rut and you're going to be, what am I going to do with all this work? You know, so.
That's exciting. One of the things that kind of like to always ask too, you know, obviously you've had a career in this. You've grown. You've developed a lot of people and yourself. You know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this. We have a lot of owners that listen to this as well, but a lot of aspiring just people in business, you know, inside of organizations. What kind of advice, you know, do you think you could kind of pass on to somebody listening that's just could help them in their career, their journey, that's really helped you?
Yeah, just listen, take the advice, mm-hmm. and soak it in. Because, I mean, you might not think it's good advice at first, but once you think about it, like, oh, yeah, I did have a point there. Well, that's just how I grew. I read a lot. I mean, I'm not a book person, but I read articles. So I like to read short articles. And I like to take a little bit of information, and then I like to soak it in, and then I apply it. Because one of the successful things we've had teaching kids is that everybody goes to college for 4 years or 2 years, right? And they get all this information in their head, and then they get to the job site or place to work, and they're like, oh, they kind of forget it. So what we've been doing is we hire them, we mentor them for a couple, whatever it takes, 3 to 6 months, and then we send them to school for a week. They learn it, and they come back and they apply it, and then they get really good at it. And then we go back to school for so they can learn as they go instead of just pound, 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 and then forget. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just how we that's just been more successful for us than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, technology's changing so fast, you have to keep up with it. Otherwise, you fall behind.
I like it. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on today, and I've definitely taken a lot of good nuggets, and I hope that, you know, anyone listening, again, that just a lot to learn and be just always curious, always learning, always listening, you know, to your point. But, yeah, again, appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. It was enjoyable.
Absolutely.
As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We appreciate you listening. If you learned something or enjoyed this, remember to keep sharing it out. We're building a community here. We're going to keep bringing on cool people, and we'll see you on the next one.